Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Kim Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you! All right, honey, buddy, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Gary Hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, he was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Great timing.
Yep.
Purple Diamond Publishing is not your average publishing company. I do not publish books. What I am is a literary consultant, which means that I will talk to you about your goals, what you want to achieve with your book. I will teach you how to brand yourself, how to market yourself, and how to get your book out there. And remember that this is you, this is your business, this is your baby. So you need to know the steps that you need to become successful in doing it. And that's what I help people with.
What are some of the steps that you do that somebody needs to know?
You have to know how to properly edit your book, how to properly format your book, what you need on your cover in order to be recognized. By agents, by the New York Times bestsellers list. I'll teach you how to do all of that, how to make sure that you can get to an agent, make sure that you stand out when you do query an agent. All it takes is one line that will let an agent know, oh, I'm not reading the rest of this, or wait, I have to stop and read this. And the agent is the only way that you're going to get to one of those big publishing houses.
Yep. And you said formatting. You said you help with formatting. What exactly is formatting for those laymans, for us laymans out there? And how important is formatting to an agent and a publisher?
It is very important. It's the difference between you having three sentences on a page, or you having three paragraphs on a page. So, and having white space in your book. You don't want to ever have white spaces in your book. So you need to know how to format your book to make sure that everything flows.
Mhm. Yeah, What font what spacing would you say that literary agents and publishing houses look for?
The font is naturally normally Times New Roman. It's still very very old school. So Times New Roman around 11-12 font. And
mm-hmm.
Spacing is normally between 1.5 to 2.
Ah, okay. And lastly but not least, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you and talk to you about their book, how could they do it, Ms. Charisse?
You can contact me at Purple Diamond Publishing 2014 at gmail.com. Send me a message and we can exchange phone numbers and I will call you, because this will be a free call that I will give you so that you can talk to me about anything. And then we can decide from there what you want to do.
Great. And that is Charisse Kateri Cox with Purple Diamond Publishing. And now, without further ado, the number one radio personality of Blog Talk, Brian the Hammer Jackson.
Good morning. Good morning, Ellen. Good morning, Charisse. I see the morning crew's here. Good morning. I think that's King in there. Good morning, King.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. I hope our author shows up. I think I saw another number, but they left.
No,
oh,
that is
Annie.
Author.
Oh, good. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. And you just heard our show is sponsored by Purple Diamond Publishing, the lovely Charisse Kateri Cox in charge of that. And she sends the author on their way to success. If you already got your book, now it's time to get to work. And Charisse is the one that will put you to work and get you on that list, that bestseller book list. Thank you. Today we have a very special guest, Ellen, A Girl Betrayed. And author Anne Aborn is here.
Aborn.
Okay. Aborn. And she's a southern little girl from New Hampshire. That's where she lives with her dog. She's a nurse by day and a writer by night. Oh, she's like a first responder. She's like a superhero. And she wrote her book, and I'm anxious to talk to her. Let's let her into the studio, Ellen, and away we go. You're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and we're number one in the morning. And we're going to stay number one because number two stinks. That's how we roll. All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we have our special guest here. And Annie, let's welcome Annie into the studio.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, Annie. How are you?
I am great, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, too. You've got a lovely voice. Thank you, Annie, for coming into the studio. And a group of trade, huh? That doesn't sound like a happy ending. Tell me about your book, Annie.
Well, it all kind of started last winter when I woke up in the middle of the night and I heard kind of a strange noise that, you know, kind of freaked me out and got me thinking about what would the average single girl in the United States and really in New Hampshire, kind of in the backwoods, what would they do if there was a mass power outage that led to kind of an apocalyptic situation? So not a big group of people, not in the military, not a prepper, just someone who lives alone with their dog. Like, what would you do? So basically, the book is a journey about the mass panic that happens and, you know, deciding on when she needs to leave her house and when she decides to leave her house, what can she take with her? What becomes a priority? And then when she tries to get somewhere in her car and you can't go that far in your car and then she's got to walk and she's trying to, you know, decide where to go, where would she find safety? But during that time, you know, what is safety? Do the bonds between friends last when it's, you know, all about food and shelter? So it's kind of what I feel is a kind of a different look at an end of the world situation.
Love it. Does it have to be the end of the world? Can we just have a, like, a, you know, disturbance? But the end of the world works.
Yeah, a blip on the radar.
Now, tell me the characters in your book, Annie. Can I? Is it Aborn or Auborn?
Aborn.
Thank you. See, I got it right, Ellen. You see?
No, you did not. You said,
I said Aborn.
I said Aborn.
You're a troublemaker. Well, Miss Aborn, tell me about the characters in your book.
Well, the characters in the book, for the most part, are all loosely based on actual real people in my life. And so the main character, she actually does not have a name. It's from the first person point of view. So she kind of goes unnamed, and it's from, you know, inside her head what she sings. So she is an OR nurse, just like me, and she has her dog, Mika, just like me. And she is, I think, a strong character who has to kind of adapt and, you know, learn on the fly kind of what is the new norm. And the first people that she runs into are her two best friends, Allie and Brad, who are based off of my two best friends in real life. And one, Allie, my best friend, is kind of the mediator that's trying to make everything okay. She's putting a positive spin on everything. And her fiancé, Brad, in the book is kind of more the naysayer. I always knew this was going to happen. We need to prepare with guns. We need to go target shooting. We need to set up a perimeter, those kind of things. So the three kind of even each other out and kind of, you know, what is the best option for their situation.
Wow.
Right.
You really...
I have a question. I hear... No, Ms. Aborn, I always hear, okay, this is based loosely on actual events or based loosely on real people. What is based loosely mean? What does that mean?
Well, my characters, except for one, the villain, are actually pretty, I guess, tightly based on real people. But I think people use the loosely term in case people get mad about their representation of them if they can figure out who is who.
Okay, so that means that you change a little bit about each character so that it's not really based on that person that you're talking about.
Yeah, I think when I first started writing the characters, you know, they're you know, whatever, loosely based on someone, it's at the beginning, it's how am I picturing them? How would that person respond to this question? You know, gives them a starting point. And then I think they kind of evolve on their own. So I think at the beginning, at least for me, they're really my friends. And then, you know, then they kind of become their own characters towards the end.
Ah, okay.
Now, the title of your book is called A Girl Betrayed, and this is based on your friends, loosely on your friends, allegedly you. And I noticed that you are the villain in this one, too. So how does she
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, you could look at it either way.
So I'm gonna look
there
at it.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, there is a main villain in the book, and it's not the main character, but the choices that she's forced to make in the moment and why, I don't think many people would agree with or necessarily think that she was going down the right path. So I think you could look at it either way.
Really? So would you call your character a bad girl, mischievous girl, bipolar?
More like she's put into some weird predicaments, and she doesn't hesitate to go for the kill.
Wow. Okay. Wow. So you're a nurse in real life. You're a nurse in real life. I know. I'm going to look at her like sideways, like I'm going to obey everything she says. So you're a nurse and you're busy. I know that kind of thing. Are you an RN? Are you you must be an RN.
Yes.
Do you work in the emergency ward, or do you work in what kind of situation are you in all the time?
I work in the operating room.
Ah, wow. what a nice time to think about a book. So, how do you find a time, first of all, to write a book? Why did you write a book, and what took you so long to write a book?
Well, that is, I guess, many layers of answers, but I am very lucky to have kind of a hybrid position where I work a certain amount of hours and I take a certain amount of call, and all of that gets put together into a full-time position. So I think I do have more time than the average nurse to write.
Okay.
I started this book last January, and so, you know, it took about a year for it to come out and for me to kind of figure out how do you even get a book out. But the reason it took me so long to get a book out is that I have a habit of not finishing projects. I have actually a few other unfinished novels that I get within about 5,000 words of the end, and then I panic that someone might actually have to read this, so maybe I should move on to something else.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So you get separation anxiety.
It's more like a fear of critique. I know rejection is a part of the, you know, the author game.
Right.
But it took a little while to kind of get up the nerve to put something out there and say it's okay that, you know, I want to have a work in progress. This is what I want to do, that it's okay if everyone doesn't like it. It's okay if I need to improve certain things.
Oh, I've been there. I've been there a lot. I know how you feel. Is this your first book, Annie?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've been there a lot. And I assume you self-published on Amazon. And have you read your...
Yes, with the help of a... I'm sorry?
Oh, no, help of a friend or a publisher?
An indie publisher. Angry Eagle Publishing actually helped me get out there.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's the name of the publisher?
Angry Eagle Publishing. It's right out of New Hampshire.
There's a theme here. you got an angry publisher. There's a wow, interesting. So tell me about your family. You know, you're working, you're saving lives, and you do write a book. And I know how long it took. It took you, like you said, about a year to get it out there. You might have quit, went back to it a couple of times. A lot of people need that support system. Are you currently with husband and with family and things like that?
So I do have a fiance, and he is very supportive. We are not together in the book because, well, that wouldn't make a very exciting book, because in real life I would just do whatever he, you know, kind of leads me to do.
Really?
Yes. So I do refer to him as an ex-boyfriend in the book, but we are together in real life.
Oh, wow. How did you about that? Did you stop and think, is there a thing here? Is there something you might want to tell me?
He was really good about it. Yeah, I explained to him, you know, before really he read any of it that, you know, it's not a book if it's, you know, based off of me and we were together. He's a huge outdoor enthusiast. You know, he
right.
would totally take care of me. So it takes away that kind of element of the, you know, the female alone in this situation. So, but no, he's been really great. I also have a huge family in real life, and they have also, I can't believe just the outpouring of support from my parents, my brothers and sister, my cousins, my coworkers.
Sure.
Everyone's just been really outstanding.
Well, you need that. And do you ever think about going to a psychiatrist and explaining relationships and things like that? About... No, what I meant by that is you may have this kind of relationship thing. It sounds like you have a great one, but that author in you may have some problems.
Yeah.
The real life you, you sound great.
Your alter ego.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Might have a couple of issues.
Yeah.
I never met a person who writes loosely based on himself, and they are the villain. Going, yeah, yeah, we need to. Girl Betrayed. We're talking to Annie, and it's on Amazon right now. It's Annie Aborn.
You got it.
Thank you. I always wait for it to Florian corrects me. What did you think about
your review? You said it right.
That's true. So, what did you think about your reviews? It must have been terrifying knowing your book's out there. Oh my God, I'm open for reviews. So you got your reviews. I'm looking at them right now. So, what did you think about your reviews when you first saw them?
I'm totally blown away. It's been such a positive response so far. I'm still shocked, frankly, that there's a book out there that I wrote that that people have enjoyed reading. It's, you know, such a good feeling. I can't wait to put more stories out there that I hope will have a similar response. There will be A Girl Betrayed is the first of a trilogy, so I am working away on the second book right now, and hopefully I'll continue with the positive responses.
You are now written in stone. Now you have a legacy. You have a book out there. Nobody can ever take that away from you. From now to your grandchildren and your grandchildren's grandchildren, they could put in your name, and that will show up. You have now started a legacy. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm looking at your cover. I like your cover. It's funny. It tells me that you probably had a nice life because most people will put a cover. I mean, it's a beautiful cover. I'm seeing a woman, sunset, beautiful sky, girl betrayed. Mm-hmm. Most women will have a knife and there's blood dripping down and heads chopped off around them because they've been betrayed. You're in a sunset and you're going, ah, how beautiful it is to be on the beach. So tell me, growing up, Annie, well, you know, a little briefly, you know, as you as a little girl, the high school, the college, and this wonderful guy you're engaged with would like to kill furry animals. So tell me about this. He's in New Hampshire.
No, go ahead.
So most people are in New Hampshire hunters, right? Isn't it on the license plate?
Live free
maybe
or die.
Not. Yeah, live free or die. That's what.
there are a lot of hunters and fishers and this outdoor enthusiasts overall, I would say.
Right.
New Hampshire is a beautiful state. It was a wonderful place to grow up and, you know, really have all four seasons. And like I said, I have
right.
a big family. So growing up, you know, well, when I grew up, we didn't have, you know, computers and cell phones. So it was a lot of spending time outside and building our own shelters and primitive camping and learning how to fish with my dad. And, that's what I kind of remember most, and those are the things that we still enjoy doing on the weekend.
That is fantastic. I wish I had your growing up. I was the bait that my father put in the water to catch the fish. You grew up really nice. You grew up really nice. So how did you meet this this lovely man of yours, this fiance, and how long you been together?
Well, we met through a friend of a friend who thought we might be a good match. So I stalked him on Facebook and sent him a message and convinced him to go out on a date with me.
Such a nice girl. Such a nice girl.
And we'll be together 5 years this year.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Okay, we're talking about a girl betrayed. What ages, what audience are you trying to reach? Let's start with the ages. What kind of ages that people enjoy your book? From 16 on up, from 12 on up?
It's definitely not appropriate for children. It's adult-themed, adult language.
Really?
So, yes.
I would never suspect that of you. I would not. I really wouldn't. Wow.
I'm sorry, I can't understand what you said.
No, I said, is there any sexual content in the book? Is that why?
Oh, yes.
Really? I would not suspect that from you either. Wow.
Right?
Wow. No, it surprises me. It really surprises me. Okay. So 17 and up, I would imagine you would say. And, well, 17, you go to R-rated movies and they have all that stuff there. And
sure.
Your target audience, females?
Yeah, have you seen the video games that these kids play nowadays, Brian?
I see authors have more of a moral code than any gamer in the world. I mean, they're hitting these gamers at 10 years old with these violent games. So authors have this moral code. So is it the target teenager boy, target teenager girl? I know you would like everyone to enjoy your book, but especially you think teenage girls will kind of love this, and we got another girl, you know, a heroine there?
Yeah, I think that it's definitely probably more attractive to females, just kind of based off of the cover. Like you said, it's not, you know, dripping with blood or suspense. And then, you know, it is from the female point of view. So I think, I'm not sure if some men are okay with reading that. Sure. So I think it's, you know, I think it would be more attractive to females. Although
well,
I have gotten a good response from the men who have read it, including my dad, which let me say, he said it was very uncomfortable reading a sex scene from my point of view, but.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. He's traumatized. Yeah. You're just really making a mess of the whole thing. I know. She's going to destroy the whole family. Oh, God.
Yeah. My dad read a copy of my book. Come on, Doug.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's just hard to see her little girl growing up in detail in front of him. You know, it's just, I can see that. So.
Yeah.
All right. Let's look at your reviews. Would you like to read some? I mean, you seem so humble and shy, but you got some great reviews. I mean, just really good reviews. Would you like to toot your own little horn, a little toot-toot there?
Sure.
Sure? Let's hear them.
I'm not sure what you're asking me. Sorry.
You have a review. One person said, this is a Kindle lover. In a review of your book, it says, edge of your seat, page turner. That's from a guy or a person named KMP. You have another review, Patty Pattern. She said it's reality. She loved it. She gave you a 5. He gave you a 5, or as a woman. Another person, amazing. They gave it another 5 stars. Another person, the Mangus, they gave it 5 stars. A great start to this new author. You know, when I get a review like this, a great start to this new author, that tells me an author critiqued your work. Because a regular person would not say a great start to a new author. That's kind of like a person who's saying, you know, let's look at that review. I found this read easy. Really? Do you know that Mr. Mangus person, the Mangus P? Do you know them?
I do.
Oh, you do? Let me guess. Is this your dad?
No.
Okay. Is this payback for what you did to traumatize that poor guy? Payback. They gave it a 5 stars. They said, I find this read easy, enjoyable, and very believable. I kept asking myself, what would I do if I were hurled into this situation? A society literally falls into a dark. Is this your husband?
No.
Okay. It was fun to watch as the main character. Very good. Kim Cox, it keeps you on the edge of your seat. They give you 5. Marcel, again, 5. 5. I noticed you gave me 5, too. Is something about 5 stars, love, you know, make you guys happy? I mean, there's nothing. You gave me 5 stars, too. Thank you. Great book.
That's just me. She listened to the show before she came on.
Yeah, she didn't like the show. I guarantee you, she did not give me 5 stars. She's just being polite. She's a nice person.
Really?
Sometimes you take the stars and you don't ask any questions. That's how it works in this business. we were talking about A Girl Betrayed, and it's a great book. It's a book of romance. Would you put it into a sci-fi category, a thriller category? Where would you put it?
Yeah. The thriller category. I think that it's not quite dystopia, but I think a possible sci-fi thriller.
Really? Now, did you show your husband the sexual parts of the book? I mean, did he want to read that first? You know how he, you know.
Yes.
Oh boy.
I actually had to read them aloud to him before I sent it to the publisher.
What a dirty guy. I know that trick. What a dirty... Yeah, honey, read it to me. You could read yourself. What a pervert. Go ahead.
No. I really needed the feedback because I was probably most worried about those scenes. And, you know, one is consensual and one is non-consensual. So especially for that, I wanted some feedback. And, yes, he did have me tone it back. He said, what is this, 50 Shades of the Apocalypse? So, yes, we did have to tone it down a little bit.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. And that, later that evening, did you get the feedback that you're looking for?
You know what I mean? Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh,
ooh. Yeah, I'm going to keep that in the book. Oh, honey, there's another patches here. Really? Oh, yeah. Bring the candles. Let's read a chapter. All right. I know your trick. Now, you said you have – do you have children? Do you have children at all?
I do not.
You do not?
I do have a stepson and a new grandson.
Oh. Did you try to hide it away from your stepson? How old is your stepson?
He's 25.
He will be traumatized.
And I don't believe he's read it.
Well,
so that's okay if he's not ready for that commitment.
Yeah, that commitment. Oh, boy. No, that's great. I'm teasing you, but I could imagine that could be awkward. And it's great that you have that open relationship with your husband. You need that support. It's cool feedback, except for he censored you. I want to. Do you have an uncensored book? I'm going to get that one. Oh, this is the one that I told now. And Aborn, this is great. You are now a publisher. You are now an author. You are now selling your book. How does it feel? Is it hard to say, hey, I'm an author, buy my book? Here's what I feel. A lot of authors are kind of hesitant to their friends and say, buy my book. They usually give them away. How many books have you given away and to your friends?
Well, actually, my friends have refused all of my offers to give them a free book. They have all wanted to support me, so I have not given any away.
Oh, they bought the book.
Yeah, I'm very lucky.
Good. Oh, you are. Did your husband buy the book?
He did.
He really did?
He did.
Wow. For the dirty part, there must be something else in there. Tell him it's not a diary. Stop it, honey. It's not a diary. That's so I don't know. Did we go over everything that you needed to say? Because it sounds like it's a great story. You went over the characters loosely based on your friends and your life. What about the dog? Is the dog imaginary or do you have a pup? You do have a dog.
I do. And yeah, and her name is the same in the book. And it is based off of her, but she is a lot better behaved in the book than she is in real life. So that's basically the only difference there.
Wouldn't it be funny if the dog sued you for, you know, I didn't give consent. It would be funny. What kind of dog do you have, Anne? Because I'm a pet lover.
She is a mutt. We think her mother was a Chesapeake Bay Retriever. No idea what her mm-hmm. father was.
Oh, okay. Well, those are the great dogs. Mm-hmm. I bet you. So you're going to write another book. So after this book, you have another one in the works? You're going to have like a trilogy?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I'm about a third of the way through the second one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to go a little bit off the book because I want authors to know when they hear you, they're going, God, it's wonderful. I want to be an author and everything. Tell people a little bit of the pitfalls. This is your first book. Some of the pitfalls of what you had to learn the hard way as far as getting your book published, and maybe you could save them the grief.
The hardest thing has been marketing. I think new authors always think the writing and, you know, the fear of rejection is going to be the hardest part. No,
mm-hmm.
It's like not even anything compared to actually trying to market the book, especially as a through an indie publisher or self-publishing, you are responsible for all of that, getting it out there. So honestly, I feel like I have no time to write because I want to spend so much time marketing, calling, you know, the local bookstores and putting things on social media and, you know, opening. I never had Instagram. Now I have to have an Instagram account and trying to gather followers there and schedule book signings. That, you know, no one's behind you kind of rooting for you to do that. It's all up to you to investigate and Google and social media your heart out just trying to get your book out there. So I think that people need to be prepared for that part of it, because I sure wasn't.
Yeah, they have no idea.
Yeah.
And don't forget the trolls, and then you feel embarrassed if you keep promoting your book and your friends start saying, I know, don't you have anything else to say? You get all that kind of narcissistic thing, and you want to keep promoting your book, and
right.
Then you go, okay. And then, did you lose any friends doing this at all? I'm being very serious. Anybody distanced themselves from you and kind of thing like that?
Not that I know of. I don't mm-hmm. think so. I feel very lucky. I see posts from other new authors. You know, my family refuses to read my book, or, you know, they say that they don't believe in them. They tell them to go back to their day job. I'm just glad I have not experienced any of that thus far.
Okay. Well, you will.
Yeah,
because,
I'm sure.
Yeah, you're going to be very annoying. Because, well, you have to be because you said it, the promotion and the marketing, it's like you're doing your job and everything. Everybody wants to post, you know, comfort dishes and food because of the situation we're in and where to go and get the
mm-hmm.
safety. And then you're posting, I am a nurse, but I want to have something important to say. Hey, A Girl Betrayed is now out on Amazon. They're going to go, really?
Right.
So, no, it's true. You could only
mm-hmm.
post so much before people really get annoyed at you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Okay, that's the only way that authors have to get themselves out there is if they keep promoting.
I understand. But people who are not authors in her daytime, I'm sure she has friends who are nurses and what's going on right now, because a couple of people say, get to it, Hammer, ask her. And I was trying to avoid asking you, but I have to ask you. You know, what's going on with the coronavirus and how you doing? Are you protected? Are you upset about it? I didn't really want to go into that because you're here to sell a book and not about real life. But if you want to talk briefly on that, because people are concerned about you and they're concerned about all nurses and they're concerned about all health care workers who are on the front line. And I have to ask you that, if you can speak on that a little bit, that would be helpful. And the fear that's going on in the hospital, and maybe you have some inside information that's not on the news that we should think about. Would you like to speak upon it?
Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely. Well, first I want to say thank you to everyone who has reached out and, you know, really cares about their nurses and who has, you know, agreeing to try to flatten the curve by, you know, staying home and following, you know, the guidelines that the CDC and everyone has put out there. I think here in New Hampshire, at least the area that I'm at, we are not experiencing it to the full degree that, say, New York City is. It hasn't hit here that hard. Me, personally, you know, where you have our stay-at-home rules in New Hampshire, so it's only go out to the grocery store and go to work. I'm glad that I am one of those people that hasn't been laid off. I get to keep my hours and you know, spend time in the hospital, you know, just practicing hand hygiene and masks and trying to conserve, you know, your PPE. You know, people in our community have been really great about donating gloves and masks and gowns, you know, from tattoo parlors or salons. Places like that have been really great. We have a lot of support here. I don't think that here in New Hampshire is necessarily, you know, experiencing it like other parts of the country. Even though it is scary, I kind of feel like we are waiting for the ball to drop here. Everyone, you know, it's like a ghost town. But I think everyone's kind of waiting for, you know, the numbers to skyrocket and our hospitals to be overflowing. So it just kind of feels like waiting for the storm to come, which is a scary feeling.
I hear you. I hear you. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just relating to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I could imagine, do you have fear going to work? I mean, you don't know who's going to be coming into that door. You don't know who you're going to be looking after. I don't know how well is your protective gear that you're working with right now or suitable. Do you have any concerns about that at all? Or you just do your job and you do the best you can? What is the mindset?
I really just try to focus on the moment. Our hospital is, you know, fairly transparent with their communication thus far about there are any positive patients in the hospital or in the community. I feel comfortable with my PPE that I have to wear. I don't know how long that we'll feel comfortable or how, you know, long that we will feel like we have enough. But for now, I'm just trying to live in the now. Today, I'm okay. Today, you know, my patients are going to be well taken care of and just do the best that I can and just hope that everyone continues to flatten the curve and we don't experience this huge spike in numbers that we're expecting in the hospital. But also trying to be realistic that could happen and what is the hospital and the community doing to anticipate that situation. I try not to panic myself because I don't know if I'll ever become unpanicked until this is over. So I'm just really just trying to focus on right now, today, I'm okay. And then we'll just see about tomorrow.
Well done. God bless you. You stay safe.
Thank you. You as well.
You know, you got our prayers. I happen to believe it's been here for a while. You're hearing all these conspiracy theories. I know you're a professional. I'm just going to tell you mine. I happen to believe it's been here for a while. And I happen to believe that, you know, a lot of our antibodies in our own bodies can kind of counteract it and build up her immune system. I that's just what I believe, but I need medication. So don't listen to what I believe. Annie Aborn.
Ramblings
Thank
of a crazy
you.
Man.
Yeah, ramblings of a crazy man, but you know, let me live in my world. The rent's cheap. Annie Aborn. I've been in Nashua. I think Nashua is one of the most beautiful places. Oh yeah, it's one of the most beautiful places on earth. And I've been there, I think it was like 15 years ago, and I just love Nashua. And the New Hampshire is just absolutely gorgeous. It really is. A Girl Betrayed by author Anne L. Aborn, everybody. It's on Amazon right now. Please support our author. This is a great story. And I think everybody should, even with the dirty parts, I think you will enjoy it. That's all I have to say.
Well, now, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
We need to know how to get in touch with her so they can buy the book.
Sure. How do we get in touch with you, Annie? All your new fans and things like that?
I do have a website.
Mm-hmm.
It is aaborn85.wixsite.com/Arthur. It's actually posted in my book. You can follow me on Instagram at aaborn, or on Facebook, I have an author page, klaborn-author.
Wow. Hit her up. She's an indie author. Support all of our indie authors. God bless you and the work you do. Please stay safe, Annie. We're with you. And we appreciate all
Thank you.
Work you do. We really do. God bless your family. Thank you for coming in. There she is, Annie Alborn. She's going to write another book, and maybe she'll kill her next boyfriend. Can't wait to read it. Thank you, Annie.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Have
Bye-bye.
A great day. What a lovely woman. I enjoyed the interview. I like Annie. All right. We have a little bit of time left, and we have a doubleheader. We have a doubleheader today. We're going to have our friend Chris Yankee will be coming in. And we got Charisse here. And good morning, Charisse. I didn't say good morning to the chef. Good morning, Chefy.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How'd you like the thing I put on Facebook? What do you think, Chefy?
Really?
Really? You didn't like it? Really?
Why you have to call me Chefy?
Really for Chefy.
Because it's a daring term, Chefy.
Oh,
oh, I can't be enduring? All right, I'm sorry, Chef. I'm sorry, Miss Cox. Listen, you have
yummy.
A choice. Huh?
What happened to my Chef Yummy?
Well, it's not Friday
yes,
yet.
So
it's not Friday. That's only that's Friday talk. Right now,
oh,
you're
okay.
A citizen. You are Ms. Charisse Kateri Cox, Purple Diamond Publishing owner, entrepreneur, extraordinaire, businesswoman. So I put up something on Facebook. What do you think of the little thing I put up there, little ditty? You liked it? You didn't?
Which one?
That's the Keep Safe, Shelter In, Read an Indie Book.
Oh, yeah. Mhm. Yeah, I like that. That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you, thank you. And we also have Tatata 888. Good morning, Tatata 888. How are you? How are you today?
Hello.
Hello. How are you feeling today, Tatata?
Just hanging in there.
Just
hanging in there.
Oh, you're hanging in there. Is that what you said? I'm sorry. I have my headphones on. I can barely hear you. Did you say hanging in there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you sound positive. You sound positive. We have a little bit of minutes. We have 3 minutes. I'm going to put on my psyche hat for you. Hold on. Let me bring in the forces. Uh-oh. I'm bringing in the forces. See what you're up to. You have been a bad girl. Oh, yes, you have. I feel that you've been fighting with your boyfriend. Have you been fighting with your boyfriend recently? Do you guys have a little thing going on that you're getting agitated towards him?
I'm not sure. Like, I don't have any insight on that. I'm just trying to be positive about our relationship, but, like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, some pick a card readings, they keep saying, like, we're separated and we have been fighting. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Well, you would, because if you're not seeing each other and sometimes you hang up the phone and you throw it across the room, that could be the first clue. Are you happy with your boyfriend at this moment?
He just, you know, feeds my heart, that's all.
He's your heart? Okay.
He feeds my heart.
Oh,
like
he feeds your heart.
When I say I want to cry for some reason, I don't know why. I can't cry. I don't want to cry. I don't want to ever cry.
Well, that's good to cry.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
I saw this story of this guy. His name is, I think, like, Leon, right? And he's a doctor. He's 34 years old, right? And he was there when, like, the first incident at this, you know, seafood place, like, you know, people from there first got diagnosed, so he put it on, like, WeChat, which is the Chinese, like, what do you call it, like, social media, and then, like, he just warn people about it, you know, when it first popped up in December. And, like, yeah, police got him and, like, eight other people said they were spreading false lies, and they have to sign a document saying they won't ever do it again and, like, put a fingerprint on it. But, like, he got contaminated himself. He had, like, changed lawns and,
Yeah, China doesn't like that at all. Have you been to China before, Tata?
Dude, I was born in China. I went back in 2007 and 2010. And the thing is, after I read that story about how the police, like, what the police did to him, because they showed a picture of the form he filled out, like, I'm like, I'm never, ever going back to China, like, ever again. I don't like the government there. I don't like the police system.
Wow. Yeah, it's rough, man. You just don't, China does not mess around. That government does not mess around. You know, the last time I saw China and the controversy China, I saw this disturbance in Hong Kong that they're trying to get their free rights and everything, and then all of a sudden this virus hit that took care of that. But, yeah, it's no joke. Chinese government does not fool around at all. Do you still you have friends in China, Ta-ta-ta? Do you, can you still talk to them?
I have classmates and a bunch, whole bunch of relatives and some people from my dad's work, my biological dad, and
Do you have to be very careful what they have to be very careful what they say on social media. They have their own social media, like
people,
you said.
Like, if you're in U.S., right, and you post something bad about the Chinese government, like, when you go back, you suffer the consequences. You might be jailed.
Really?
WeChat is watched. It's this famous Chinese social media. My family uses it. My relatives use it.
Wow. Do you... Well, it's going to be a stupid question. Because how long have you been in America, Ta-ta-ta? You grew up here.
I came here when I was like 9 and a half. I went to Minnesota, stayed there 9 or 10 years.
Wow.
Then I went to Pennsylvania. I'm in Pennsylvania. Now it's been like 9 or 10 years.
So you could write. You could write in Chinese, right? So that would be interesting. Can you do that?
You know, if I'm writing by myself, then sometimes maybe like 20% of the time I need to check out like a word and what it looks like because I forget, you know. I just take a one look and then I can write it like because I don't use it that often. Yeah.
Well,
but if
I
was typing on a computer, it's fine. Or
I
a cell phone,
cool.
It's fine.
I think that's cool, Ta-ta-ta. That is so cool. And I didn't know that you were born in China. That is interesting, too. Well, thanks for sharing, Ta-ta-ta, and thank you for coming in. We have another guest coming in another 3 minutes, but I wanted to say hello to you and get an update on how you're doing, how you're feeling. And you sound great. You sound great. Thank you. And, of course, there's another voice you know in the studio, which is Charisse. And not only Purple Diamond Publishing, Charisse is a chef, and she's coming on Friday, and she's going to cook some great meals. Ta-ta-ta. It's going to be
a great meal. I don't know. I have no idea. That's what
I know.
It's called.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking so forward to it. I haven't tasted it. I had no idea in a while. So tell me about this dish, Charisse.
I have no idea.
Juicy and mouth-watering.
Exactly.
Mouth is watering right now, Charisse. I can't wait to see pictures.
I'm so hungry. You should actually name it that. You should actually name it that, really. It could even be meatloaf. Just put it, I have no idea. I like that title. I really do. Well, I hope you guys... I hope you guys attend to the second show. The second show, we're going to be talking to Chris Yankee. Have you ever? Chris Yankee is one character, and it should be fun. And then we'll go on with our traditional subjects right after that interview. There's a lot to talk about. Today I want to actually introduce, I think, Ta-Ta-Ta, you will like her, and I think you will love her, Charisse. I don't know. I think Charisse is more my kind of style. What's her name? Bernie. I'm sorry, guys. What was her name?
Brene Brown.
I really want to introduce her, you guys, to her. I mean, oh my God, Ellen. I don't know if you will go for her or not, because you're more of a kick-ass kind of person, and I think Charisse is a kick-ass. I don't know, but I do want to introduce her to you guys, because she is a female Tom Likas.
If she's the female version of Tom Likas, then
not as crass, not as crass. You know, just her ideology.
Her ideology.
That is true. And is this Mr. Chris Yonke?
Yeah.
Is this you, Mr. Yonke?
Oh, my God. Are we in early, Chef Cody?
You're really early.
We are really early. Yeah, almost 2 minutes. Oh, my God. Chef Cody, we're going
to
do is get ourselves situated.
Okay, I'll just watch you cook this time.
Let me tell you, Chris is an actor. Let me tell you, this is pretty good. Chris is an actor, and if you're on time, you're late. And Chris knows exactly what I mean as an actor.
Okay.
All right.
That's right. As an actor and as a proud adult performer. Now, Chef Cody and I are going to share my phone because we're on speaker. And you know, what we can do is we're showing Chef Cody a trick here to dial into the Hammer Show without having to pay that T-Mobile ridiculousness.
Oh, are you
a
T-Mobile? Yeah.
Yes.
It's a penny a minute. It's a penny a minute. I do the same thing. My phone, too. I'm on T-Mobile, too. That motherfucker. All right.
Yeah,
let's end this because we're going to start your show. Okay, kill it. Go, hang up, Chris.
All right.
Show starting in about 28 seconds. Call back in. Save money.
Copy that. I hate T-Mobile.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to A Girl Betrayed. The author is Annie Aborn. It's on Amazon right now. Get the book. It's a really great book. Ta-ta-ta, Charisse, thank you for joining. We have a show coming up in about 10 seconds. You just heard Chris Yonke. We'll see you then. Hopefully we'll see you guys then. And thank you for coming in today. See you in a couple minutes. You have to dial back in. Thank you. Bye, lovely people.